We want to look at some five verses of Scripture in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And they have to do with this particular subject. These all died in faith. We've been looking at the statement, by faith Abel, and by faith Enoch, and by faith Noah, and by faith Abraham, and by faith, or through faith also Sarah. This evening we're looking at verse 13 through 16, and this verse begins with, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. And from this statement, we understand that the fulfillment of our faith is seldom accomplished while we are yet living in this world. Some things are. For instance, the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah, and then the offering of Isaac by Abraham. We'll be looking at that particular incident that was accomplished through faith next Sunday morning. But the object of our faith, which is God, and the promises that we believe by faith, those promises made to us by Almighty God, largely are to be fulfilled in the life that is to come. We are looking for the eternal. We live in a world that is temporary. We live in a world that is corruptible. We're looking for a world or a city that is in a world that is eternal and incorruptible. And we focus upon a place called the city. That city whose builder and maker is God. That city that I believe Jesus has gone and is gone to prepare and is preparing for us. So Paul has said these all by faith. And then he states that all of them died in faith. And when we look at that statement, these all died in faith, there is an emphasis upon the fact that they died in accordance with the principles of faith. They received, that is, they did not obtain, they did not experience those things that they had been promised. It was faith they lived by, all of them, and in faith they died, although they did not receive the blessings promised. But here's how they saw these blessings they did not receive. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Afar off means a great distance, far from the object, a great distance away. And were persuaded, convinced, and committed to their existence, and embraced them. And the word embrace here is used in two circumstances, and it has to do with people who are traveling. First of all, it meant a person on board ship who, when sailing away from his home, his homeland, and his friends, saw them on a distant pier or distant shore. As his ship was about to slip over the horizon, he could see his homeland and he could see his family and friends a long way off. And it also meant when a returning person, that is someone who had been away for a long period of time, when they sailed up over the horizon and could look and see their homeland and look and see their friends, that this is how they embraced them. That is, they accepted them and they became literally a part of them. So these people, they saw this city afar off, but they saw it as a part of their homeland and a part of the experiences that they would be involved in someday. and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They professed, they said the same thing that God was saying, and that is, you are in this place as a stranger and as a pilgrim, and they agreed with God, and therefore they said the same thing. The word stranger here means a guest, not of one's own family. That is, I am a guest in this particular house. This is not my family. And these people looked upon their existence on the earth as being one of a guest, and that the family, that is the carnal world, was not their family. They also confessed that they were pilgrims. And this means someone from a long distance away, away from one's own people, one who stays for a while in a strange place. They only saw them far away and hailed them, like we would wave to men and women of our family on the shores we were leaving. They hailed them from a distance and admitted that they lived on this earth as foreigners, and they had no permanent home on this earth. This is the attitude that they possessed, all these people that we've mentioned. You know, sometimes we think, perhaps Brother and Sister Rogers, being missionaries in South America, being missionaries in Chile, that they were strangers, and they were guests, they were foreigners or pilgrims, and that they made their home among people who were not their people. So we think their being in Chile, they were strangers, foreigners, pilgrims. And I think we believe then when they come to America, they've returned to their homeland. But really they haven't. They're still pilgrims and foreigners and strangers right here in America. Now I know this is a better homeland perhaps because it has more loved ones. But really, I'm not any more a foreigner in India than I am here in America. I'm a foreigner here in America, and so are you. We are pilgrims and strangers. Now, why would God expect us to have that kind of attitude? Well, simply so that we wouldn't pay too much attention to it. We wouldn't get too wrapped up in it. You know, if you're not going to, when you look at it as a place that you are camping in and tenting in, then it makes your relationship with God more important than your relationship with the people that you are immediately around. Now, we don't need to take this figure of speech too far. We could take it way too far and make it teach something that it doesn't teach. It just means that, you know, you can be in another country, and when you're in another country, you long for that permanent place where you have your friends and loved ones, that homeland. And that's the idea here. They declared such a thing, for they that say such things. These people were saying these things. You know, we rarely think of Abraham as being a witness, do we? We rarely think of Noah of being a witness past the idea of just preaching coming destruction. We rarely think of Enoch is being a witness. We don't think of Sarah, perhaps, as being a witness. And yet, for they that say such things, they said these things. Abraham said these things. Sarah said these things. They spoke these sentiments aloud. And I suppose this was probably their basic testimony to a lost and dying world, was that we're pilgrims here. We're strangers here. We're looking for a city that Jehovah God has made. And we're going to that city. And they would ask them perhaps, well, when are you going? Well, we don't know, but we're going to that city. And these all died in faith, not having received the fulfillment of that promise. For they that say such a thing declare plainly that they seek a country. And the words declare plainly mean they cause to be seen. And the idea is that they convince people. They have a convincing argument. And you know what made Abraham's argument that he was a pilgrim and a stranger. You know what made his argument believable? He lived in tents. He had a tent, and that he never built a concrete and brick home somewhere and then said, you know, we're looking for a city. We're pilgrims and strangers. It's like a sign out Highway 5 going to Spring Hill that is in concrete that says Jesus is coming soon. Someone said, if that's true, why don't they put it on cardboard? See what I'm talking about? It's sort of the concrete sort of belies the message, doesn't it? Well, I understand, you understand, but sometimes the world doesn't understand. So people might say of Abraham, well, Abraham, if you're a stranger and a pilgrim, why do you live in this concrete home? Well, Abraham didn't. He tented. He pitched a tent. He was always on the go with the idea that someday I'm going to live there. They declare plainly. They cause people to see it. The word seek means to seek after. The word country here is translated many places, fatherland. They that are seeking a homeland. The way they lived convinced people that their message had a place in their heart. Now the homeland of the faithful, according to the Bible, is that city. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, now he's talking about Abraham evidently and Sarah. And the word mindful here means homesickness, literally. It has in it the idea of remembering and to think much of a thing and to recall to one's mind. It has in it the idea of cherishing the memory until it makes that person homesick. And he's saying, and truly, that is, it is a fact that if Abraham and Sarah and others had thought so much about the place they'd left, the Ur of Chaldee, if they'd really thought about this until they became homesick, they could have gone back. You know, God didn't build any fences. Abraham and Sarah could have gone back to the Ur of Chaldee. Had they been thinking with homesick remembrance, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And the word opportunity means the right measure of time, the convenient time. And it has in it the idea that if Abraham and his people, or whoever we're talking about here, including all these of faith, that if they'd looked for the right opportunity, I guess we ought to put it this way. If they had been homesick, they would have looked for an opportunity to go home, and they could have found that opportunity to go home. But it seems that they didn't think about their homeland. And therefore they didn't get homesick for it. And therefore they didn't look for an opportunity to go home. They could have returned. That is, to bend or turn up back, to bend back. They had ample opportunity to return. But they didn't. Why? Because they didn't look at that as the place that God would give them for that city. So they never went back. But now they desire a better country. That is, and heavenly. But now, that is, the truth is, it emphasizes that it's the present tense desire, which means to groan or yearn for. This indicates that it is a continual, habitual attitude of life. That is, looking for a better country, desiring this city that God told Abraham that he would give him, not just inheriting a country, but this the place that Abraham actually, it more or less so consumed him that he set everything else aside. It was a continual and habitual attitude. The word better means stronger or more powerful. But as it is, we see them eager for a better land. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, That is their eager attitude. The fact that he didn't get homesick for the place that God called him out of, and then always look for an opportunity or a right time to go back, that pleased God. And because it pleased God, the Bible tells us God was not embarrassed nor shamed to be called their God. And so it is no shame to God, but to be named their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. The word prepare here just means to make ready, as it's used here in Hebrews. And it's the same word that's used in John 14 too, when Jesus said, I go to prepare or make ready a place for you. Whether I'm right or wrong, it won't make that much difference, because the place that all of God's people by faith have set their eyes upon is that New Jerusalem, that heavenly city, that place of Zion, that habitation of God, where God will dwell with his people and he will be their God and we will be his people. It's that circumstance. It's that literal place that we set our eyes upon, and unless the Lord raptures us, we'll die like these people did. We will die in faith, not having received the promise. The Lord doesn't come and take us out. We will die in faith. And you know, God wants us to look forward to that literal new earth, that literal new country, that literal new city that is in our homeland, that is yonder on the horizon. We can see it afar as we're living here on the earth. We can see it afar. In fact, we can just almost wave at the folk on the other side. That's the idea that's expressed here. Perhaps in our sailing, we come up over the horizon, and there we see that homeland, the new earth, that new country, that new city. Now, we need to fix our attention and our interest and place our interest upon these things so that we don't get so attached to this world that we get homesick for the place we live and wish we didn't have to die and really get contrary with God over the death problem. You know, really get upset about the death problem. And I think that's why God wants us to fix our focus on that homeland and on that city and on that new earth, where God will be our God and we'll be his people. Because if we do that, then we won't get homesick for this place. That is, desire it over much, that it would become a burden to us and hold us into bondage. I believe this is what Paul's talking about. Now, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. That's how you get spiritually prepared for the city. Now, that doesn't mean you'll have the faith that these people had, but it does mean you'll be a child of God, and then God can, as he calls upon us to do the things we need to do, we'll do them by faith, the same kind of faith that these people had. The just shall live by faith, written four times in the scriptures, written once and quoted three times. Now the just shall live by faith. Paul is calling these people who are about to quit, who are about to desert the assembly, who are going to walk away from it. Paul is saying, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. Don't quit going to church. You will probably die also, not having received the promise. But there is a city. Look for it. Now he's going to enumerate a lot of other things, a lot of other people, a lot of other circumstances that were faith people and faith decisions, like Moses' decision by faith. You know, he made a decision. What does it mean? It means that faith was the foundation of Moses' decision. And Samson and Barak and Gideon and, well, a lot of people we wouldn't even think had faith, like, well, smart aleck Samson. We don't think he had any faith, but he did, because the Bible says he did. And then he lists circumstances, not people, but circumstances. And then he lists the greatest witness of faith there is, and that's Jesus. When I say Jesus had faith, I mean by that he believed God. You remember when he prayed for Lazarus? He said what? Father, I know thou always hear me. That's faith. It means he believed God, doesn't it? Faith is just believing God. Jesus believed God. And we can believe God. Mike, come and lead us in the invitation hymn. If you'll stand with me as we sing. And I'd remind anyone here that if you're not in God's will, if you need to have baptism administered to you, scriptural baptism, if you need to come and unite with a church, you need to make any move that God's laid on your heart. If you're here and lost, you may have thought as we... I've gone through these series of messages, but I didn't have faith. I didn't really believe. I just joined the church. If that's true, why not make your profession of faith this afternoon and trust in Jesus and follow him?